All right, tell me you can hear me. All right, what a fine looking crowd out there. All right, let's get our Bible and let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 tonight. And we'll look at something for a minute here to try to encourage one another to do this. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. All right, I hope y'all are there. The Bible says there, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. All right, now, this is just a simple little instruction to us about helping one another. What can we do to help one another more than anything else? What it says here, exhort one another. Well, what does that mean? Well, to exhort means to encourage. That's a good start right there. Don't you think it'd be a help to encourage one another? It's a whole lot better than criticizing one another. It's a whole lot better than just finding the faults and being able to point them out in everybody else, one another. It'd be better if we could encourage one another. It means to embolden. Well, to encourage means to give courage. To embolden means to encourage, to step on out there, to have courage, to not only to have courage, but to do something about it. It means to cheer. You know, we know what that means, don't we? To cheer. It means to, well, I'm thinking of another word in Spanish, but it's to give encouragement, to make you move, to move you, to help you to get started. Now, we all need that from one another. We need encouragement. We need a little cheer once in a while, a little cheering. And then here's the other part of what it means that we don't like so much. It means to advise, exhort one another daily, encourage one another daily, embolden one another daily, cheer one another daily, advise one another daily. Well, now you can't do that unless somebody's willing to be exhorted. So this is a two-edged thing here. We need to exhort one another and we need to be willing to be exhorted. We need to speak and we need to listen. Now you've got two ears and one mouth, so how much do you think you should do of each? Well, just like the old saying, you should listen at least twice as much as you speak. It'll work out better that way for everybody. More good will be done that way. The primary sense of the word seems to be to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. So, that's what our duty is to one another. There's not a lot that we can do to help one another in a lot of the other problems of life, you know, trouble with children, money shortages, and all of that. We can help a lot more than we do, for sure. But a lot of times we can't meet the need. You know, people, now we've got all these things that we have to have in our life, and the burden is so great to maintain and pay for all of these things that we get ourselves in such a shape that, you know, a neighbor, a friend, a family, church member, they could just give you a loaf of bread in days past and help you out greatly. Now that don't even count, see. It takes much more than that. So, we're limited on what we can do to help one another in all those other areas of life. But we're not limited in how much we can exhort one another, encourage one another, edify one another, yeah, cheer one another, help one another in these things, share wisdom, share knowledge, share experience, good experience, and bad experience with one another. So, it's the duty of each member of the church to exhort one another. And it's not just the preachers who are supposed to do this, not just the teachers. It's not the responsibility of just certain ones of the church, but it's the responsibility of each one and every one in a church to exhort one another. It's not my job completely. It's your job too. It's, you know, this command applies not only to members of the church, but it also applies among members of the family. It ought to be this way in your home. You ought to exhort one another and encourage one another and cheer one another. You ought to be a help and a blessing to one another and not just an obstacle, a fight, a wall to constantly be pushing against for them. And that includes the children also. Children need to be exhorted, and they need to be instructed, and they need to be loved, and they need to be encouraged in the right things. That's instead of just totally discouraged from the wrong things. You can't talk about just what you shouldn't do all the time. You ought to talk about what you should do. I mean, a conscience tells you what you shouldn't do. They've got a voice in their head and that tells them in their heart. Now, the relationship among members of the family should be just like it is among members of the church in this respect here, that we ought to be such that exhorting one another would be no cause for offense or occasion for strife. It shouldn't be offensive to you if some other member of your family or a member of the church, Christian, tries to tell you something to help you, tries to encourage you. You shouldn't read into it some negative connotation, some idea that they're criticizing you or that they're thinking evil of you because they try to exhort you. We ought to get out of that habit, and we shouldn't let the devil tie up our mind in that kind of thinking. If somebody speaks to you, well, you ought to consider it from God. You really should. Because a lot of times it is. Even if you don't like what they have to say, maybe it's God speaking to you through them. Remember Balaam's donkey? How spiritual you think that donkey was? Well, he was more spiritual than the prophet, that's for sure. It doesn't matter who tells you, it's what they're telling you. And so we ought to be willing to be exhorted at church, at home, from our loved ones, from our fellow Christians. We ought to take exhortation, encouragement. We ought to receive it willingly. Exhortation one to another ought to be almost always positive. Not very often does it need to be negative. It's not about arguing or confrontation over opinions or lack of opinions. But it is, again, I'm reading from the dictionary here about what exhortation means. It means to incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments to a good deed or to any laudable conduct or course of action. Now, arguments is not me talking over the top of you and you talking over the top of me. Arguing about, that's not exhortation. Argument here he's talking about is giving the reasons for why this is good or that is good or why we ought to go that direction or you ought to get involved this and you ought to do that. It's arguments in favor of that. Reasons for, not two people butting heads with one another over an issue and disagreeing about it. It's to encourage people to do good, to do right, to draw closer to God. It's not meant to settle disputes or disagreements. That's not what exhortation is about. And you know, I've been in a lot of churches and I've known a lot of Christians through the years, and they spend their time arguing and debating and falling out with one another and being mean to one another. There's such a spirit of brawling among so many independent Baptists. That's who I know. I know that they're that, and I see others the same way. It's just a spirit of confrontation and a spirit of condemnation toward other people, and it's not Christian at all. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not exhortation. You don't exhort somebody. That's to encourage them. That's to cheer them. You know, that's not what this is when you criticize and attack and confront people about what they believe. You know, it just doesn't work that way. It's not meant to settle disagreements or arguments. That's not what it is. It's to encourage to a closer walk with God and more interest in spiritual things. That's what exhortation is. When are we supposed to do this? Every day. Who are we supposed to do it for? One another. All of us. One another. In our homes, in the church. That's what we're supposed to do. Exhortation should be to encourage to a holy life and a richer enjoyment of God. Exhortation from our brethren and our loved ones is very much needed by every one of us. We need it. You may think you don't, but you do. You need to be exhorted. I need to be exhorted. Every once in a while, it's good for somebody to just say, you can go on. Step up there. You need to do this. Here's the thing to do. And encourage it by, I need to see examples of other people who've went farther than I have, who've understood things I haven't. I need to see those people. I need to hear from them once in a while. I need them in my life. So do you. You need to be made aware that there's somebody who's went farther than you. There's somebody that's walking higher than you. There's somebody that's able to reach down a hand and help you and show you the way to higher living, to better living, to a more holy living, to a better walk with God. It helps the unity of the church if others, more than just the preacher, exhort the members to holiness and a walk with God. What we've got in the churches mostly nowadays is just rabble-rousers and dividers. We got people who sow discord among the brethren, and God hates that. That's not what exhortation is. The church is to be in unity, be of one mind and one accord. And if they are, they'll be exhorting one another in those matters. Same matters. The people will be encouraging one another to do what the preacher's preaching to them to do, to believe, to see, to understand. They'll be helping one another to understand what God, through the pastor, is trying to teach the people in the church. It'll be one mind, not a bunch of people jostling together against one another, trying to have the preeminence. They had that in the early church, first thing, because you got people in the church, and that's what you're going to have when you have people. You're going to have people, even among Jesus' 12 disciples, they were arguing about who would be the greatest among them. Well, what a bunch of baloney and nonsense. We're to exhort one another. And it helps when other people in the church do it, and not just the preacher. It helps when more are involved in steering this ship and keeping this ship afloat than just one person or two persons. Without exhortation one to another, without it, the silence of the church members leaves everybody wondering if anybody agrees or not with the preacher or with one another. It makes everybody wonder if everybody's really into this or not, if everybody believes it, accepts it or not. Nobody says nothing. If nobody says anything, you don't know what to believe. People like to, you know, I know people who won't say anything and they're silent. Well, you don't know what they believe. You're just assuming that they believe and agree with everybody else. You don't know that unless they say so. So we're to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, not be quiet. Without it, we never know the hearts of the other church members. If they never express a real desire to live holy and right before God and to walk with God, and then they don't ever express a desire to see it in others, we don't know their heart. We don't know their heart. It's always edifying to our soul and a blessing and encouragement when we hear one another voice our agreement with the truths that we hear in church. When I hear somebody voice the same things that I believe, and they're not just saying it. I mean, they're speaking from the heart, and that's what they really believe. Boy, it encourages me. It encourages anybody that believes the Bible to hear somebody else affirm it and say, yes, I believe this, and it agrees with what you have found out through studying and listening and praying. It encourages you. It edifies you. Well, that's exhortation. And how are we going to be exhorted by somebody if they never say what they believe? If they never affirm that they're one of us? Well, you know, we read in 1 John here a few weeks ago about how they went out from us because they were not of us. You know, that's why. They said, you know, Judas was really not one of them. He just pretended to be. If Judas would have spoken his heart, they'd have known right away that he wasn't one of them. Well, likewise, it's encouraging to hear our children or other family members when they say right things. Y'all listening to me? This is the way it is. Proverbs chapter 23 in verses 15 and 16. Listen to what the Bible says here. He said, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. See, that's a son exhorting his father. That's a father exhorting his son. It's the father's talking about how his son will exhort him by doing this. And at the same time, he's exhorting his son to speak right things with his lips, to have his heart, a wise heart. And when you do, my heart, my reins will rejoice. Oh, yes. So you see how that works? It's encouraging when we hear our children, when we hear other family members, when we hear other church members say right things. That's exhortation. Well, just say what we believe. Say, well, everybody knows what we believe. No, we don't. We don't know what each other believes. And see, the context of this, you know, if you go back here and look at the verse before, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. There you go. What's the context? Well, because things are ever changing. We're all constantly under the gun of this world. We're constantly bombarded by the lies and the deceit and the temptations and stuff of this world. And so we never know where everybody's standing from day to day, from week to week. We don't know what kind of attack from the world and the devil that you're under. And you don't know what we're under, what I'm under. And so we need to exhort one another daily to help avoid that, to help take care of that problem, to cover that weakness and that vulnerability that we're all under around this world. It is encouraging just to hear people say right things. Boy, that'll go across the board everywhere. It helps us if we hear some politician say right things, even if we know they're not really sincere. We take heart in the fact that they'll at least say the right things. So it helps us. Now there's safety in a multitude of counselors, the Bible tells us. In Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So where no counsel is, that means where nobody's saying nothing. Where nobody's giving any advice, nobody's giving any encouragement, nobody is saying yay or nay. All people are doing when there's no counselors is they're criticizing, they're bad-mouthing, they're saying things that just out of the bitterness of their heart and all of that. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So, we're much less likely to stumble in our spiritual walk if we hear and heed the exhortation and admonition of our brethren in the church, or our parents in the house, or our husband, or our wife at home. Somebody somebody around us, somebody that we love, that we live with, that we go to church with, that we're going to heaven with, somebody that we're associated with, that we have a relationship with, needs to say something to us about what we believe. We need to talk about what we believe, what we think about, what we care about. We need to say something once in a while. In fact, we need to say something every day, every day. We need to encourage one another, edify one another, exhort one another daily. It's a balm for that feeling of loneliness that we experience in our soul when we realize how very different we are from the world around us. Now, if you're worldly, you don't get this because you don't know what it is to not be of this world. But if you're really born again, Jesus said he has taken you out of this world. He's called you out and you're to be separate, and it's not something that you do. It's something that actually just happens. You're brought out. From the day I got saved, I was different from this world, and I knew it. And nobody had to tell me, and I didn't have to try to be, and it was no struggle. I was just out of there and in with God's people. I changed citizenship. I changed everything. Everything changed when I was saved and born again. And so we get this feeling sometimes of loneliness because we don't belong in this world. And we feel like a stranger here, which we very much are. And so just the exhortation, hearing somebody say right things, hearing somebody that we love, that we have a relationship with, that we're associated with, hearing them say right things gives us, it's just an assurance. It gives us a sort of a peace. It's like a balm for your soul, what you feel being a stranger in this world. It's like meeting somebody you know from home when you're in a strange land. It's like news from a far land. It's like good water, you know, the Bible talks about, like a cold drink of water. That's what good news is from a far country. That's what it's like. We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord by hearing what the brethren have to say. It helps us. You know, we need more. Now, this is going to sound bad to you maybe, but we need more than just to read our Bible. The Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there reading the Bible, reading in Isaiah chapter 53. And he didn't understand what he was saying. He said, "How can I except some man show me?" And Philip climbed up in that chair and showed him. And he understood. And he was saved. And he got baptized right there. I mean, he needed somebody to help him. You need somebody to help you. I need somebody to help me. I look to other people all the time. I read. I listen. I drink in what other preachers, other people, not just preachers, but what other people through the centuries have written and learned. We don't start over with every generation. We don't start over with every life from ground zero and chunk everything in the trash that everybody else has learned through experience and from God and all of that through all the centuries. If we would avail ourselves of what's there for us, we'd get a big head start on life and being ready for heaven. We need more than just to read the Bible. You need to hear from other people. You need to read from other people. You need to hear the words of exhortation from other people. We need one another and can benefit greatly from one another if we'll speak to and exhort one another. I believe that's one of the main reasons why that Christ set his church up like he did, so that we can meet together. And that's one of the great problems here with all this pandemic, so-called, and everything that's happening, what they've done to the churches to forbid them to sing, forbid them to meet together. You know, churches have been for these past few months doing what we're doing right here. We're not face-to-face. I'm looking out the window at you in your cars, and you're looking at me in this window and can't see me very well, and we talk to one another, but there's a big problem of, it's not like the fellowship that we're supposed to have, where we can speak to one another and exhort one another daily. Now, we can still do that, But God set up the church so that we would be together, that we would assemble together at set times. That's why these people who don't need church and they think they're going to go to heaven by themselves, they're badly fooled. They're greatly mistaken. And it's a wrong thing. Jesus set the church up so that we could do this, what we're talking about here tonight, so that we could edify one another, exhort one another daily. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You need one another. Well, when you strike iron to iron, what happens sometimes? Sparks. That's right. You have sparks. But it's good for people to speak to one another, to bear their hearts one to another, to share the knowledge, to share the things that they've learned and heard from God with one another. God don't give us those things to consume upon ourselves, to hoard among our pile of knowledge that we've got, like a hoarder with a house full of boxes of junk. That's not what He gives us things for. The only reason God gives us some kind of blessing, knowledge, understanding, is so that we can share it at the right time with somebody else. That's right. Now, we should allow others to exhort us. We should read books, sermons. We should study material by others. You ought to. It'd be a help and a blessing. Be careful who you listen to. You ought to have enough truth and a foundation of truth from reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God that you would recognize the truth and you would recognize error when you see it. But you know, Jesus said He would send the Holy Ghost when He went back to heaven, and He did. He said, "I'll not leave you comfortless," and He didn't. He said He'll send the Spirit of truth, and He said that He'll guide you into all truth, and He does. That's why He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And the voice of a stranger they will not hear." If you're saved, the Holy Ghost lives in you. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You have the seal. You're sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and He bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And He does not leave you alone. And so you recognize voices of error. If you're walking with God and you're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to recognize error. So there's not that great a danger in reading and studying. I read stuff all the time in commentaries and other things, and I say, "Oh, no, no, no." I know immediately when he's off base. But in digging through all of that, I find some wonderful things and that are a help to my soul. It is a real blessing to hear a man speak from 300-400 years ago, maybe longer, and he says the same things that God has showed to my soul. That's exhortation, and that's encouragement, and that's edifying, and that cheers my heart and helps me greatly. It'll do the same thing for you. So you need to do that. You need to allow others to exhort you, and don't wait on people to speak to you with their voice. There's other ways to be exhorted. Make yourself available to be exhorted. We ought to be good listeners and not just good talkers. Both the one exhorting and the one being exhorted are helped. It's a blessing to be able to help somebody. It's a blessing to be helped by somebody. So give somebody a chance to exhort you. It'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to them. Exhortation is not a sermon. Get this. But it can be as brief as a single word. There's been things said to me that were a single word that made more impact on me than a 2-hour long sermon. And that's a fact. And you know, you probably had some kind of the same experience. To exhort one another is not to preach sermons to one another. But it can be as brief as a single word. In fact, most of the time, the fewer the words, the more effective the exhortation. The more brief it is, the more likely it's going to be remembered, that it's going to be heard, listened to, assimilated by the person who's listening. Nobody will read a book anymore. Won't hardly anybody even read a track. It's too long, unless it's got pictures. People are used to reading memes on Facebook, and if it's more than a paragraph, more than just a line or two, they just pass it by. Too much trouble. Too lazy. Too lazy in their mind and soul to dig for anything for their soul or for the souls of anybody else. So the exhortation to one another is needed to keep us from being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now that verse that I just read before you, to you there, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Watch it, because that's what can happen to you. I've seen people do it. I've seen people sit in church, stand up, cry tears, and shout, do everything that a happy, real Christian does. I've seen them cry at the altar, stand and cry, and weep, and holler for joy, and tell about what all God's done for them. And I've seen them turn and walk out, never come to church, live a wicked lifestyle, turn away from God completely. Their heart is as hard as a stone. So I've seen it happen. So he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, we don't like to see people go. And it's even more heartbreaking when we see them go and we realize we could have done something. We always say, I should have talked to them. I should have said more to them. I should have taken more interest. I should have exhorted them more. But I didn't. So where the advice here from the Word of God, the command is, do this every day, lest this happen to somebody right under your nose, your own children, your own spouse, somebody in the church that maybe at one time looked up to you or would have listened to you, and they're gone, and their heart's hard, and it's deceived, and now they won't listen, and you can't help them. Sin is deceitful. Once drawn away of our own lust and enticed, we're blinded. That's what the Bible says, the devil blinds the minds of them that believe not. And they're taken captive by him in his snare. At his will, he can capture them. So they're blind to the consequence of sin. They're blind to the wickedness of their sin. Sin is deceitful. That's what it does. It makes you think there's nothing wrong with it. It makes you think that nothing's going to happen to you because of it. And we know better than that until we're deceived. So you get a hard heart. How do you get it? By being deceived by sin. Once sin's deceit has been sown in our heart, we join with it to justify ourselves, therefore deceiving our own selves. Deceiving him, his own self. That's the way it happens. That's just how it happens. And it happens right under our noses while we're talking about all kinds of other vain, foolish, worldly stuff in front of one another instead of exhorting one another daily. It happens. These people right under our nose, some of our children, some of our church members. I mean, that's what happens. Their other voices are speaking to them. We come to church for just a few hours each week, and the rest of the time, it's Facebook, it's social media, it's news, it's the rest of the world talking. It's entertainment, it's movies, it's songs and music and all that. They're getting a lot of input, a lot of pull, a lot of exhortation from some other source that's encouraging them to go another direction. And so we need to be on the ball and exhort one another daily. It generally happens real quick and can happen in the midst of a congregation and assembly. Proverbs says this in chapter 5, verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Wow. Think about that. A little deceit sown takes root, and then the person is deceived because of their sin. God's telling us to exhort one another daily because of this matter right here. It's so easy for somebody to be deceived. And that was written thousands of years ago. What do you think it would be like now? If it was true then, what do you think it's like now when everybody's got a device in their hand at all times, looking and receiving and being influenced by somebody somewhere else that's not one of the brethren of the church, somebody that's not one of their loved ones, member of the family? So a little deceit sown doesn't take long. So then sin brings deceit much more than deceit brings sin. You hear me? A lot of people are mixed up on this. They take the simple simpleton's way out of it, and they just say that sin deceives. Well, it does. And they say we sin because we're deceived. Well, that's true, but listen to me. Sin brings deceit much more than deceit brings sin. You start looking at sin. You start beholding it, gazing upon it, before you're deceived about it. You hear me? You don't go that way first because you're deceived. Look at Romans chapter 1. They knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now that's how it happens. You're not deceived by being in church and you're all blind and sin just grabs you like a monster and you can't escape. That's not how it works. You're in the midst of the congregation and assembly. You might be raised in a good home with godly parents and a good church, and you may hear the truth all your life, and then you start looking out there. And people are saying, look here, look here, look here. Way more than just the devil. It's everybody in this world. It's that device in your hand. It's every TV, movie, song you listen to this world. They're all saying the same thing. Come this way. Come over here. Look this way. And you start looking. And then you're deceived because you build a desire for that thing. And that's what happens to husbands and wives who split up, to church members who leave, to children who leave a Christian home and go to the world to live ungodly. That's exactly what has happened. So how do we stop that from happening? Well, here's what the Bible says. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's what we're to do, see? So just as depravity is a result of sin, see, I'm a heretic because I believe that according to most everybody nowadays. I say that you're depraved because of your sin. They say that you sin because you're depraved. Wrong. Depravity is a result of sin. And the more sin, and more sin is a result of depravity. It's like a snowball that ends in death. Sin makes you depraved. When you submit to it, when you take that step and you enter into it, something happens to your mind. It's messed up. You don't think right anymore. And so, because you're not thinking right anymore, because you've yielded your defenses that you had, you're even more apt to sin, more prone to sin, because you're not thinking right. I hope you understand that. So exhortation is a means we're instructed to use here to prevent this from happening. Don't just be exhorted yourself. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Y'all come to church. I hope to hear something that'll help you. Well, that's good. And you ought to get something to help you when you come. But you ought to always be looking. All of us ought to always be looking how to give some of this to somebody else. How to encourage one another in these matters that we hear about. So Proverbs 15:23. Let me read you a couple of verses here that these are some of my favorite verses. Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Exclamation mark. How good is it? So a man hath joy by the answer of his heart. That means when you exhort somebody and they receive it and you know it's helped them and you've encouraged somebody, it gives you joy. Gives you joy. It don't make you proud. It just gives you joy. Because you don't have anything that you didn't receive. You don't have any understanding. You don't have any gift. You don't have anything to give except what God has given you. That's all we got. And it's a joy. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So that's how that works. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Just a word, fitly spoken, appropriate, at the right time. Knowing what to say. How do you do that? Well, experience. That's how. By having a mind that's exercised in all of the things of God. By reading and filling your mind and your heart with the Word of God, you get understanding. And then you're able, you are ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you. Or even if he doesn't ask you, you know what to say when other people don't know what to say. You know how to exhort and encourage and help somebody when other people just don't know what to do, what to say, what to give them. Proverbs 16:24, one more verse. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. We ought to exercise ourselves to exhort one another with good things, with positive things, to encourage one another. Leave room for people to grow. We all can, it's way easier to criticize one another, to find fault with one another, to look at one another and say, you're doing that wrong, or you're going to be sorry for that, or ain't you got no more sense than that. It's easy for everybody to do that. Don't do that. That doesn't encourage, that doesn't exhort, that discourages, that takes the life out of somebody. It causes them to want to go somewhere else where somebody would be, where they'd be more accepted. And we need to encourage one another. Make it a habit and a practice to say something to somebody every day, to exhort them to live higher and to walk closer to God. Just make that in. Make a promise to yourself and to God that you're just going to do that. You're just going to look for that opportunity God gives you that day to exhort somebody. Say a good word. Say an encouraging word toward God that'll point them toward God, that'll cause them to think about looking up instead of down. You know, everybody's looking down, just like an old hound dog goes along, or an animal, a possum will go along with his nose to the ground. He ain't looking nowhere. These old hogs, they do the same thing. They don't look above their head. They just look down at the ground. That's the way people are living too. They're not looking up. Encourage somebody to look up, to look to God, to walk higher, to walk holier. Exhort one another while it is called today. Let's do it. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. A good word here for all of us. Please help us to receive it. Please help us to do something about it in our life. Help us to remember this and to encourage and exhort one another and help one another in these perilous times we live in. We need one another. We need one another's encouraging words. We need to hear one another bare their heart and say that they believe the same things we do about God, about righteousness, about heaven and the future. And Lord, it is a great help to us, a great encouragement. Please help us to do it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's kind of awkward to end this way. But I just pray that you'll all take this to heart and that you'll do something about it. Amen. Honk if you're still awake. All right. I don't know if you fell asleep on me or what, so. All right. I'll be out there in just a second. We'll See you before you leave. Amen.